In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a really good meeting today at the prison. It was the off week when I don't serve Divine Liturgy, and I just teach them. And of course, it did not turn out like I intended. It never does. I should just intend for it not to turn out as I intend, and then it'll turn out like I intend. I was planning on teaching them about the Gospel of Matthew, the things we've been reading, which basically we're more or less through the fourth chapter, and I'm sending them a letter about each chapter, and then we're just talking about things about Matthew. I was going to do that, but I never even opened the Gospel to St. Matthew. We talked about a lot of other things. I heard something that was very beautiful today. We just talked about many, many questions. They have lots of questions. And in keeping with my here am I and whatever crosses your road method of ministry, I figure they ask me questions, I answer questions. And that's what we did. But sometime late in our session, somebody said, this has been time well spent. And that's a good thing to hear, that it was time well spent. So we talked about a bunch of stuff. They asked me about the name of God and this idea of the Tetragrammaton, and that some people say is Yahweh, and that the Jews would not pronounce, and was it something holy? Was it something divine? And I said, well, you know, God existed before all names. So therefore, God doesn't have a name. God is before names. Names are just a construct, sort of a symbolical language for something. God is the something that existed before the name. So there is nothing inherently divine about a name. But of course, the name refers to the divine. And we talked about how in the scriptures it says, hallowed be thy name for thee, our Father. That doesn't mean that that name itself is holy, but the person that has that name is holy. We also did some just standard Trinitarian stuff. It's important not to think that people know it all, and always to go over ground again and again and again, especially when questions are asked. So there was a little bit of confusion, and I talked about that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And why? Well, we don't know. God just is. He is who he is. And he is Trinity. One in essence, undivided, and yet in three persons. And we talked about the Son as being an example, sort of as a metaphor of the Trinity, that the Son exists and it has heat and light. And the heat and light are part of the Son and proceed from the Son. And just because the light proceeds away from the sun doesn't mean it stops being the sun. It is part of the sun. And that's a pretty good metaphor, I suppose. And we talked about the Jesus prayer, that the name Jesus is not inherently divine, but we are referring to the divine. And when we say the Jesus prayer with attention and with desire, because it's such a simple prayer and so easy to do intellectually, that we can focus the powers of our soul upon it, and God helps us when we do that. From there, we talked about tongues and whether tongues still exist. And some of them had a Pentecostal background. And I told them, well, yeah, tongues certainly do exist. Whenever God wants them to exist, they exist. Whenever there is a need for someone to be able to speak to someone in a language they don't know or to understand a language they don't know, it happens. It's a rare gift, but it does occur. It's not an ecstatic prayer language gift, but it is something that does occur, and there are stories of it in the Desert Fathers, that two fathers would meet having known each other by reputation. They spoke different languages, and they prayed because they wanted to be able to understand each other, and one of them all of a sudden, I think, understood Syriac, if I remember the story correctly. We also talked about psychics and how people could know things like, you know, where the body is buried and stuff like that. Well, I told him that psychics exist a whole lot more in TV shows than they do in real life. But if a psychic were to say, I know where the body's buried and be able to find it, the demons know where the body's buried. The demons are spirits of the air. So they know those things. They have that vision to be able to see where the body's buried. And they're very intelligent, and they can make good deductions that are much more well-informed than our own, but they're not supernatural in terms of they're not omnipotent, nor are they omnipresent. So sometimes the demons can know things. We talked about like if there's tongues and there's interpretation, and I guess in one guy's church, somebody would get up and, you know, wiggle around and squirm on the floor and bark like a dog and then give some sort of prophecy in tongues, and then someone else would interpret it. But if nobody else interpreted, it just so happened that every time the pastor could interpret it. And they wanted to know about that. I said, well, it's the demons can tell the truth as often as they lie. In fact, they tell the truth pretty often, because the truth is a very good tool for those who lie. So we're not supposed to stake any stock in that. Certainly, someone can say something that's true. But this is a demonic phenomena, because it brings people away from dogmatic truth. If you look at the dogma of groups that practice tongues, there's a lot of things where they're really off. In fact, a lot of Pentecostals don't even believe in the Trinity. Then we talked about the idea that the demons said were, you know, the dead were being raised and everything, and the apostles were so happy about that, but that they should not rejoice because the demons were subject, but because their names are written in the book of life. And that morphed into talking about contemporary topics and about what is about pro-life and things like that. I told them that I just recently seen that an entire Congress had, Democratic Senate had voted every single person for partial birth abortion, which is nothing more than live vivisection. And then the question is, what should a woman do if she's raped? And the answer is clear. She should have the baby, not kill the baby. Now, should she keep the baby and raise it if she has the strength? Glory be to God. May God bless her. If she doesn't have the strength to do that, then give the baby for adoption, but not kill the baby. We talked a little bit about the calendar, because I was telling him something, and we had to refer to a date, and it's all confusing. Somebody asked me, why do we follow the this particular Pascha, not like the West, and everything. That's a complicated subject. I'm going to send them some material about that. But the less we talk about the calendar, the better, because the calendar is not the gospel. I want to talk to them about the gospel. That's what I really want to talk to them about. So we talked for a long time. I was there till almost 10:45. Theoretically, I'm supposed to be done at 10, but since count hadn't cleared, I could stay, and I was able to stay. So glory be to God that I could talk to them. Glory be to God that they felt that it was a profitable time. Next time I come, I'll serve Divine Liturgy. This is quite an exciting time in the prison ministry. I've had some real down times. Right now is a more of an up time. But no matter what, with God helping me, I'll keep showing up. May God help us in all things.